visions.
"She's coming back."
"Thank the dead," Ricker heard her father say in the fizzing blackness, and she groaned as she pushed the spit-wet dowel out of her mouth.
"Well, that's four times this week."
"Fits are getting worse,"
croaked Ricker. Her teeth ached, her head was splitting. She prized one eye open, then the other, saw Issern and her father looking down at her.
"At least I didn't shit this time."
"To shit, you have to eat,"
said Issern, hard-faced as ever.
"What did you see?"
"I saw a river full of corpses,
bobbing and turning, face up and face down.
I saw two old men fight a duel in the circle, and two young women hold hands under a golden dome."
Applause echoing in the gilded spaces.
"I saw a flag with an eye upon it, standing behind a high chair."
And someone sitting in the chair. Who had it been?
"I saw an old woman."
Ricker winced and pressed her hand against her left eye, burning hot, and shuddered at the memory, still faint on the inside of her lids.
"And her face was stitched together with golden wire. She spoke to me."
Issern sagged back on her haunches.
"I know this woman."
"You sure?"
asked Ricker's father.
"'Tis a distinctive look, do you not think? She is a witch."
Issern took up the dangling necklace of runes and finger bones she wore, tattooed knuckles whitening as she squeezed it tight.
"She is a woman much loved by the moon, or perhaps much hated."
Ricker never saw Issern of Fael look anywhere near scared before, and it made her feel scared, even more scared than usual.
"She is a sorceress who returned from the land of the dead."
"None escape the great leveller,"
muttered Ricker's father.
"None escape, but they say some few."
Issern's voice faded to a scratchy whisper.
"Are sent back."
She leaned close, hard hands gripping Ricker's shoulders.
"What did she tell you?"
"That I had to choose,"
whispered Ricker, feeling cold all over.
"Choose what?"
"I don't know."
Issern bared her teeth, tongue stuck in the hole where one was missing.
"Then we must pick a path up into the high places. There is a forbidden cave there beside a forbidden lake. That's where she lives, if you can use the word about a dead woman."
Ricker's father stared.
"Do we really want help from a corpse stitched together with golden wire?"
"Help with strange problems comes from strange people."
"I guess."
Ricker's father helped her up, the horribly familiar pain pulsing away behind her eyes.
"You should eat something."
Her gorge rose at the thought.
"I'm not hungry."
"You're skin and bones, girl."
"I just need some air, just need to breathe."
Issern pushed the door creaking open, and bright daggers glittered along its edge, stabbing, stabbing. Ricker closed one eye altogether and the other to a slit, groaning as they helped her through the doorway. She felt weak as a newborn calf. Everything hurt. The soles of her feet, the tips of her fingers, the inside of her arse. They helped her onto her father's favourite bench in the overgrown garden, with the view of Ufrith's steep streets sloping down to the glittering sea.
"Oh, the son's a bastard,"
she muttered, but she managed to smile as the salt breeze came up and kissed her clammy face.
"But the wind's a good friend."
"Other way around where we're going,"
said Issern, dumping a sheepskin about Ricker's shoulders.
"Up into the hills."
"Everything's a matter of where you stand."
Ricker's father took both her hands in his.
"I have to get back to this bloody moot. If I'm not there, they'll argue."
"They'll argue more if you are there. They're like bloody children."
"We're all like children, Ricker. The older you get, the more you realise the grown-ups won't suddenly walk in and set things right. You want things right, you have to put them right yourself."
"With your bones and your brains, eh?"
"And your heart, Ricker, and your heart."
She squeezed her father's hands, so thin and crooked.
"I worry they'll wear you down."
Me?
He gave a smile that was convincing no one.
Never.
They already have. He smiled again, truer this time.
That's what it is to be chief. You make the hard choices so your people won't have the trouble of them.
He glanced about at the weed-choked beds as he stood, brushing off his knees.
One day I'll tame this bloody garden, you'll see. You just sit in the breeze now. Sit and rest.
Wasn't like she had much choice. Didn't have the strength to do much else. She sat and listened to the gulls squawking on the rooftops and the bees busy at the garden's first ramshackle hints of blossom. She watched the fishermen on the wharves, the women at the well, the carpenters still mending the wounds Stour Nightfall had cut into Ufrith. She wondered if her father would live to see it put right again, and the thought made her feel sad, sad and lonely. Who'd she be when he was gone? She closed her eyes again and felt tears prickling. She hardly dared look these days, in case she saw something that wasn't there yet. Hardly dared breathe, in case she choked on years-old smoke. Isern had always told her that you cannot force the long eye open, but she'd tried when Leo fought his duel against Stour Nightfall. She'd tried and seen a crack in the sky. She'd tried and seen too much, and now she couldn't force the long eye closed again.
You tell you had a fit.
A shaggy shape loomed over her, a dull glint where one eye should be.
Aye, aye, Shivers, she said.
He sat beside her, looking out towards the sea.
Aye, aye, Stringy.
That's rude.
I'm an infamous killer. What do you expect?
One can still kill politely. It was then she noticed a building not far away was on fire. Going up like a torch it was, flames gouting from the windows and burning straws whirling from the thatch. Rickard gently cleared her throat. Even that made her head pound.
That building over there.
She watched a fire-wreathed figure stagger from the doorway and flop down near the well, no one taking much notice.
What, the inn?
Aye. Is it, would you say, on fire at all?
Shivers raised his brows at it, or he raised the one that worked, at least.
Not that I can tell. Does it look on fire to you?
She winced as the tottering chimney stack collapsed into the charred rafters in a gout of sparks.
Little bit, but I've a habit of seeing things that aren't there.
Getting worse.
Despite my efforts to look on the sunny side, it seems so.
Rickard felt tears in her eyes and had to wipe them away. The left one was hot again. It was always hot now.
Isern says there's someone up in the mountains might help. A dead witch whose face is stitched together with golden wire.
That's your help.
Help with strange problems comes from strange people.
I guess, he said.
At this point, I'll take any I can get. What have you been up to?
I was sitting in this moat of your father's. They're talking of the future.
And what's in it?
You're the one with the long eye.
Rickard stared at that burning building that wasn't really burning. The one next door had caught fire too now, just patches among the thatch. By the dead, she wanted to reach for a bucket. But how do you put out flames that aren't there yet, or that burned out long ago?
Fire and discord, she muttered.
Shivers gave a grunt.
Takes no magic to see that coming. Red Hat thinks the Protectorate should be part of the Union, with seats on their bloody open council and everything, I dare say.
Hard to imagine.
Oxall thinks we should kneel to Stour Nightfall.
Rickard curled her lip and spat, but weak as she was, she got most of it down her front.
Give it all away before he tears it from us?
Or bargain for something while we've still got something to bargain with.
What about Hardbread?
He can't decide one way or the other, so he agrees with whoever's talking. No one reckons we can stay as we are once your father's gone, and no one reckons he'll be around much longer.
Ricker blinked at him.
That's harsh.
Shiver's metal eye twinkled with the colours of fire.
I'm an infamous killer. What do you expect?
By the dead, but the whole of Ufrith was burning now. Clouds lit orange and yellow and red, and the air heavy with screams and clatters of war. And Ricker gave a groaning sigh right from her hollow belly, and closed her smarting eyes and clapped her sore hands over them. But even then she could feel the heat pressing on her face, the smoke harsh in her nose. Something was forced between her jaws and she gagged, tried to twist in a sudden panic, but couldn't move, gripped tight as swelling ice might grip a drowned corpse.
She's coming back.
Thank the dead,
Ricker heard her father say in the fizzing blackness.
But that's four times this week.
She jerked up, pain stabbing behind her eyelids, and spat out the dowel.
Fits are getting worse.
She was in her room again. Her teeth ached. Her head was splitting. She stared up, bleary, at her father's worried face, trying to make sense of it.
What did you see?
Asked Isern again.
The river of corpses, and the old men fighting, and the young women holding hands, and the flag with the eye, and an old woman,
blathered Ricker, pressing her hand against her left eye, burning hot.
And her face was stitched together with golden wire.
The same words slobbering out, the same words as before.
She said I had to choose.
Isern sagged back on her haunches, just like last time, and her jaw squirmed as she worried at the hole in her teeth with her tongue.
What does that mean? You know what it means,
snapped Ricker, every word another stab through her head.
You already told me. What did I say? That she's a witch who was sent back from the land of the dead, that she's much loved or hated by the moon, that she lives in the high places in a forbidden cave beside a forbidden lake. You told me we had to go and see her.
Isern looked more and more scared with every word. Ricker never saw her look scared before, except just before, in the vision. It made Ricker feel even more scared than the last time it happened.
Can't very well disagree with myself, can I?
Muttered Isern.
Do we really want help from a corpse stitched together with golden wire?
Asked Ricker's father again. Isern shrugged.
Help with strange problems comes from strange people.
Ricker finished for her.